How's the diet battle going, boys?
Rebel already admit defeat.
What the hell?
No, I didn't admit defeat.
These guys are going back and forth. They just have a bet for like a steak dinner, like a Ruth Chris or a nice steak dinner of who could lose 35 pounds first.
2.5 months.
Who's in the lead?
Well, we don't know. We barely started on the 27th.
June started 27th. Like 2 weeks ago or a week and a half
ago?
Yeah,
but you're using fucking diet pills.
That too.
Yeah.
But plus, I told him, I go, the only reason I think you're going to win is he's just doing straight cardio morning, night, straight cardio. I'm actually like lifting weights hard and I'm doing cardio, but throughout this process, I'm going to like gain muscle. So my weight's not going to drop as crazy.
So do fucking cardio.
No, I am doing cardio, but someone doing just straight cardio morning and night, you know, like when the bet ends, like I'm going to look like legit in like shape.
When the bet ends, I'm going to be full of steak.
You're going to look like Paul.
That's what you do percentage of body fat. That's why you do percentage of body fat, not weight.
Yeah.
Well.
That percentage of body fat is the way that you should do it. Because then if he puts on muscle, right?
All you want so skeptical.
You want to get in on this too?
Puts on muscle. I'm already working out. I got my workout
in
today.
I'll bet him on losing weight. I'll bet you on muscle.
Okay, that's fine.
You're going to take us both out to dinner.
So yeah, they I'm not even part of that. That's something they started.
Yeah, our guts have been growing since, you know, the last couple of years.
Since we started working here.
So it's Rifle Supply's fault.
Like a year and a half ago, I lost about 100 pounds.
Fuck.
Yeah. Barely just kind of changed a couple of things. Next thing I know, boom, I'm 100 pounds down. You know?
Just gotta eat a little bit cleaner.
Probably put about 20 of that back. So I think I'm down maybe like 80.
That's still good. Are you going to still keep going?
Still, yeah. I've been kind of, you know, stumbling along. The hard part is like, damn, I lost 100 pounds. And then you're just like, I can just do this, you know? Yeah. Like, I can just do this anytime.
Yeah.
And then you don't.
Yeah.
It's a year and a half later.
Yeah, it's tough, too. Like, it's not that easy. I lost 60 at one point. I lost 60. Yeah, about 60 pounds, 60 to 65. But my dad was a health teacher, and so it was easy for him. But, like, the biggest thing that people... Like sugar just has to go, which is actually pretty easy. Salt just has to go, but there's replacement salt. The Morton substitute salt tastes almost just like salt.
What is that made of?
I don't know. I used to know. I don't.
They have a brand called New Salt.
Yeah, that one's good too. What's that one wasn't even around back in the day. They New do it salt. Like herbs and stuff, and like a,
is it or is it chemicals?
No. Well, dude, you're putting diet pills in your body. I don't want to hear about fucking chemicals.
Touche. He's got a diet squirt. And he's like, you know, my body's a temple, guys.
Yeah, no chemicals. Like, you got to stop. That negates the entire competition to me.
How so?
You can't use an artificial. You can't use an artificial weight loss agent when you're competing in a weight loss challenge.
Diet pills?
Obviously.
What are the diet pills? What are they?
I don't even. They're just called fat burners.
They fucking speed up your metabolism and shit.
Yeah.
It like that's not sustainable.
We're not talking what's sustainable or not. We're seeing who can lose the most weight in 35 fucking days.
He's trying to get to that.
He wants to lose the most weight and then gain it all back.
Right.
He's just trying to get to that tomahawk steak at Ruth's. You know? Yeah, that's it. They don't get natural.
Yeah, I'll cut the diet pills after that.
Okay. I was actually just at Ruth's and they have a 40 ounce tomahawk steak.
Jesus Lord.
40 ounce.
That's where we're going.
Well, the bone is
like 150 bucks.
So it probably was about that. Yeah.
Yeah, but the bone is probably like easy 15, 20 ounces, you would think.
I wonder if I guess they must, right? They have to weigh it with the bone.
Yeah, the bone, yeah.
And that bone was on there. The bone was like,
so you're fucking paying 20 ounces for bone.
Eat that bone, dude.
Yeah, the marrow or something. Yeah, I'll take it home to the dog.
I'll tell you this, the secret cut at Ruth's, I think, is probably they're probably the most unique. Like the reason to go there is they have a bone-in filet.
Yeah.
So you get
really. All the, yeah, I've never been to Ruth Chris. I've been to Masters and stuff.
It's super good. Super good. It's but you get the texture of a filet, but then that bone gives you a bunch more flavor because that's always the critique of a filet is it doesn't have a lot of flavor.
That's why I got to usually wrap it in bacon or something to give it some fat. Some
flavor. I always get the filet at Masters, but maybe I'll have
Masters has a bone-in one too. There though.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
So it's a bone.
I always get the smallest one so I can have dessert and have a bunch of other shit. I'm going to get the biggest steak or else I overeat.
You get the petite filet?
Yeah, and I ruin it too because the butter is fucking screws up my stomach. So I have to. I get it with no butter. So
and what? Wait a minute. Are you? Is it like a lactose thing?
Yeah. It just messes up my stomach, and so it's better to at least be able to eat it.
All the butter. Butter makes everything better, dude.
Just like diet pills.
Butter, salt, diet pills.
You know, I was thinking about that. You know how everybody loves bacon, and bacon makes everything better. I was seriously trying to think to myself, is there a food out there that bacon doesn't make better? Like, can you think of any food that bacon in some way would be like, no, I can't do that?
Leave it in the comments, people. Nope. I want to see some comments.
Are we on right now? Are we rolling?
We're always rolling.
Oh, I didn't even know.
And then he cuts it.
And then he'll cut it. He'll figure out where,
I don't know. He was a chef before. He was a country-renowned Cerakoter, so he would be the person to ask.
I can't think of anything. No. Like ice cream. It makes ice cream better. You know, I can't think of anything.
It's like salt.
That's basically what it is.
Salt makes
it. They put bacon in old fashions.
And Bloody Marys. Uh-huh. What food would it make? I mean, they do Twinkies wrapped in bacon. They do Oreo. Like
I've had chocolate bacon.
Oh yeah.
You know, at the fair, Diego Fair. Yeah. That was like their big thing. So every year, this is funny. I used to go to the fair every year, and I was like, okay, whatever the weird food is.
Yeah.
I
gotta get each year they have something new and weird.
And they had like rattlesnake chili one year, and they had bacon chocolate and chocolate bacon or whatever. One year it was deep fried frog's legs. I'm in.
You have?
I'm gonna do this.
Yeah.
So I go get it. Came in a little thing or whatever. Take this huge bite, and whatever 14-year-old was working, you know, the deep fryer, he didn't leave it in long enough.
Some raw frog legs?
I bit into undercooked, practically raw frog's legs. I thought I was going to die. I'm not exactly.
You didn't swallow. You spit it out.
I doubt I swallowed it. I don't quite remember.
It's like, no, I still ate it.
There was about a 2-hour time period there where I was just like, and like I seriously had to sit down on a bench and just like think about life for a good half hour. It was horrible. I thought I was gonna die. I don't know if you've ever had like undercooked chicken. It's like undercooked chicken, but it's a frog.
But it tastes like fish.
It's a frog.
Well, but then too, if it's a frog, I wouldn't really know if it's cooked or not. Like is this the way it's supposed to taste?
You'll know.
Yeah, you can tell.
Oh, I almost died.
It was a little squishy.
Man. Frog legs taste like chicken and fish, like basically half and half.
Is it like a little like stick leg, or is it like a thick, like a fatty leg?
It's like a little baby drumstick.
Like a drumstick, yeah.
Yeah.
Except I didn't know they were that beefy.
But
babies. Baby drum. Like a chicken wing almost.
Yeah.
Huh. Are you laughing at me?
All right, here we go. Episode 16, Shoot the Mic, sponsored by Rap Supply. Our special guest today is Mr. Michael Schwartz from the San Diego Gun Owners and the San Diego Radio?
San Diego County Gun Owners, Gun Owners Radio,
Gun Owners Radio,
and then Orange County Gun Owners and Inland Empire Gun Owners. And we just opened up a 501c3 to support our women's program called Not Me California as well.
Okay, I did see that one too. Okay.
So I'm sorry, were you going to say? So you said all of them, the Orange County, IE, and San Diego. I just know you associated with the gun owners.
Yeah.
Do you head it? Are you pushing it the most? Like, kind of what's your role there?
It's
expansive.
Yeah, it's a lot. I actually started all three packs.
Okay.
And we've had people help run the different packs. You know, over the last few years, San Diego's is the oldest. We're going to be 8 in November. And we have something like 3,600 members, and it's growing 40, 50 members a month. And we just hired someone to be the executive director. So up until January, I was the executive director. And now my job is to kind of oversee all the organizations.
And you work for them? Or do you have another day job? Or
is it?
Okay.
So 8 years ago, I was doing a bunch of volunteer work, mostly in, you know, Second Amendment politics. And we decided, hey, we need our own organization and down in San Diego. So I walked away from my job. No safety net. Just, I'm doing this thing. Uh-huh. We'll see how this goes. Kept the resume up to date. And it was bumpy for a few years. I took a big pay cut, and it was real bumpy for a few years. A lot of people helped. A lot of people were super dedicated to it. And then people in Orange County heard about it. So we opened one in Orange County, opened one in Inland Empire, which is, you know, Riverside and San Bernardino. But my job is to just kind of keep everything moving, you know, keep everything going, make sure bills get paid, make sure that resources are there, make sure that we have, you know, the things that we're doing, the decisions that we're making stick to the mission statement and that sort of thing. And eventually planting more seeds. We want to do LA County gun owners, for example. And so, yeah.
So what is the mission statement? Like, what is the gun owners? What do they do?
So the whole purpose of what we do is we vet people and then get people. So we vet people to run for local office, mm-hmm. which is, you know, school board, city council, county board, and sheriff.
Okay.
Is that why you say PAC? So PAC is Political Action Committee,
yeah.
typically. So is that kind of what these associations identify as?
Yeah.
Is that kind of the same as the NRA and the CRPA and stuff like that? Are those PACs also? Or do they take a different
title? Actually, so it's a good question.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take you off track. I just had to get it out.
No, that's a good question. And I don't want to get too far down into the weeds. But here's what I did. Here's how I made the decision to just be a PAC. Because NRA and CRPA and all these other organizations, they have a couple different organizations, you know, they'll have like a kind of a main umbrella organization, which a lot of times is a 501c4, which isn't a charity. It's just kind of an organization. And then they'll have a charity, which is a 501c3. So, you know, money that you donate to the 501c3 is tax deductible. And then they'll have a PAC. And the PAC, all the PAC does is give, it works to get people elected.
It's almost like lobbying.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like NRA, ILA, that's the PAC. And then Friends of NRA, that's the 501c3.
Okay.
And then NRA is, you know, the umbrella. So what I did is I said, okay, I have this idea. And I sat down with a piece of paper and said, these are all the actual activities I want to do. You know, we want to have booths and take members and endorse people and blah, 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 blah. And I sat down with a few people that were a lot smarter than me. Not as good looking, but a lot smarter than me. And they basically said, well, to do all these things with one organization, you have the most amount of latitude with a political action committee. So we're using these PACs. We kind of worked backwards. A lot of organizations, you know, they start their umbrella organization, and then they're like, okay, we're at a point we're going to open a PAC. You know, we're at a point we're going to open a charity. And I went the other way around. I said, you know what? Let's try this whole idea under a PAC and, you know, grow it out from there. So that's why a PAC allows us to do anything we want in the political world. You know, we have to, there's certain accounting for donations, there's certain accounting for when money comes out, but for the most part, we can do anything we want. There's not a lot of restrictions. Whereas like a charity, they can't be involved in politics hardly at all.
Right.
So that's why we picked the Political Action Committee structure. And now we've been successful. So now we're opening up the charity, the 501c3. And, you know, doing a couple.
Is there eventually going to be that umbrella one?
I don't know yet. You know, it was important for, I don't think so, you know. It was important, though, for the PAC to be, like, people in San Diego really identify with San Diego County gun owners. You know, people in Orange County really, like, when we first started Orange County, I would bring like paperwork, you know, like agendas or whatever, flyers. And if I dared forget to, you know, change San Diego to Orange, I mean, they would hear about
this. This isn't us.
Right. Yeah. But that pride is important.
Yeah.
It is. Know? That keeps the group together and growing and such.
So that's why it's important. We're not, there are 58 counties in California. Not every county could support this or really even needs this kind of PAC. But there are half a dozen, maybe eight different areas, you know, L.A. County, Sacramento, the Bay Area. I'm trying to figure out. We actually did a bunch of research and talked to people and visited. That could probably support two or even three PACs. You know, the Bay Area is huge.
Is it not getting touched by NRA and CRPA enough? Is that why that's an area like I would look at it and go, I want to open a store there because it's underserviced.
Yeah.
Are they underserviced in those areas?
Well, it's not the geography that's underserviced. It's that, you know, NRA, it's the focus. So NRA, CRPA, they just don't quite have enough bandwidth to get down into the city council level.
At the granular level, basically.
Yeah. And so, you know, we actually, you know, we have relationships with city council members and mayors and county board and whatever. And you can't, you know, you got to live in their neighborhood. You know, right. You can't live in Sacramento and have a relationship in 58 different counties, you know, yeah, or whatever. Gotcha. And it's not, by the way, it's no fault of theirs. They're doing great. I tell people it's like, you know, it's like a baseball team, right? You know, if you're in left field, you sit out there in left field until the ball's hit to you.
Right.
You know, you don't, you know, if it's hit over into first, the left fielder doesn't run into first. That doesn't mean the left fielder is any, you know, less talented or whatever.
Yeah.
We're playing our you know, place in the field, and there just wasn't anybody playing in those local races to the extent. And I was looking around, and there were you know, maybe a dozen political organizations in San Diego. None of them cared about the Second Amendment. The Republican Party didn't care about their Second Amendment. The Democrats hated the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
All the business organizations, they didn't care about the Second Amendment. They were worried about taxes and, you know, that sort of thing. And they were getting everybody elected. You know, gun owners weren't. You know, yeah. There's zero organization. And then when it comes time to run somebody for the assembly or state senate or Congress, they look at a city council member, a mayor, you know. So if we, even if we had a great candidate, like, hey, we got this great guy, believes in the Second Amendment, whatever, we don't care. You know, they're not in the system. So you know, a lot of our success down in San Diego is not really, you know, it's hard to quantify, like, you know, this many or this percentage. But I definitely know more people in San Diego own a gun, carry a gun, train with a gun, run for office because of guns, vote because of guns, than ever in San Diego's history. And that's a great thing.
And what's going on down there? They've got, I know the 80% went away. They seem like they're tightening up and tightening up and tightening up and tightening them up. That could be my perception being outside of the county, even though I'm down. I do dog training down there a lot. Yeah. I'm down in San Diego a lot. But I have this perception as somebody that works at a gun store that San Diego is become tight as shit. Is it not as bad as I'm perceiving?
I don't know if it's any. I mean, there's they've definitely all over California. The whole fight has moved into the municipal realm, you know, and so. There are a couple of different municipalities that have, like, storage, you know, laws and that sort of thing. Like, we're definitely not San Jose, you know,
right.
but we're not Riverside either.
And you're not L.A., yeah.
You know, we're not L.A., but so they're definitely, like, there was a big fight. I think part of the fight with the 80 percenters is that we're at the border, and there were a lot of
that makes sense.
Yeah.
It does make sense.
So some of those fights, you know, started bubbling up. I think there's even a touch, though, of, you know, that San Diego County Gun Owners has been successful. The other side's like, okay, we got to fight with them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's no San Diego County Gun Owners in, I don't know, name the county, like Santa Barbara County.
Right.
You know, so there's no fight there. So they've tried to copy us, and they've come up with groups, and they pick fights now, which is fine. We win more often than we don't.
Right.
But the other thing, you know, we have a lot of lawsuits. Like we've partnered with Firearms Policy Coalition, which is wonderful. Those guys have been fantastic. They called up early and said, hey, we heard what you're doing. How can we help? You know, it wasn't this like schoolyard, like, yay, stay away from the slide. The slides are, you know, it wasn't like that. They were just like, how can we help? And, you know, it took us a couple of years to figure out how to work together or what we could do together. But being plaintiffs in some of these lawsuits has really, really worked. And of course, you know, we just happen to have Judge Benitez down there.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
The assault weapons case, the 1 in 30 case, there's a privacy case, there's a roster case, the Rena case.
Yeah, he needs to get to signing. Like, yeah. Just start. He needs to get to, like, signing.
I know. I wish he would.
Do you know anything about what? We'll get to that later. Why don't we get to Benitez later? I had a question just about, number one, your history and where you came from before all of this.
Yeah.
And then number two, honestly, I just wanted to say that, I mean, I commend what you do. The shit that you guys do, this being out places and grinding it out and being in a booth and asking people for donations and asking people for memberships. That shit's not always fun. It's not always easy. It's not easy to ask people for money. I made my career in sales, and I had to call on the phone and stuff like that. That's hard enough. Asking people, it seems like it would be easy, but I even apply it to myself. Like, how much do you contribute to a stuff as far as moving the fight forward? None. Like, the company does, right? We do. But as personally, it's easier to say, I got to pay my rent. I can't do that. And the job that you guys do, it – I don't know. Maybe I have a misperception, but it sucks sometimes. Like, it's a lot of fucking work, like what you guys do.
It was, I mean, I don't, you know, I absolutely love my job, and I love what we've created, and I don't have a bad day. I mean, I just absolutely am delighted that I get to fight with politicians over the Second Amendment. I get to organize women. You know what I mean? Yeah, I couldn't be. But, yeah, I mean, when we started, I walked away from a job. I took about a $40,000 a year pay cut, and wow. It was like me and a clipboard, you know, at a yep. table telling people I got this idea.
Right.
And I can't believe we made it through the first year, let alone almost 8 years later.
Yeah.
And there have been so many people along the way to thank. I must have looked so pathetic at this table at a gun show with this clipboard. I remember a couple people were like, they're still members today. We're just like, hey, do you want some help? You know, like I was like this sad case. You know,
it takes balls to do that, man. It really does. It's not. I mean, I can't say I've ever done it. You know, and I've sold ice to an Eskimo. I can sell anything, but like that is, it's a different kind of aggressive that you have to have, and a different kind of dedication to that movement. And I don't know. I commend you for that for sure. Well, I'm not kissing your ass because you're on the podcast. I'm just saying that stuff that I don't even know if I would want to do all the time. How you guys do it? It's a fight for sure.
Yeah, you know, it's not easy. The biggest thing I'm proud of. There's a couple of there's a number of things I'm really proud of. One of the things I'm most proud of. You know, in San Diego, there was the Peruta case. Remember the Peruta case that had to do with CCWs? A guy named Ed Peruta sued San Diego, and it kind of made its way.
I think I remember that.
And then it kind of petered out. It didn't make it all the way to the Supreme Court. And right around that time, we were formed, and we got the sheriff who was being sued, and he actually won in court through political pressure. We got him to start issuing CCWs, and he basically used Orange County as a model. Because you guys had been issuing for about 3-4 years by that time.
So it's like 17, probably right around there.
Yeah, 16, it's exactly 17. What it was. Yeah. Summer of 17.
Okay. Yep.
And he started issuing. We started teaching people how to get their permit, and it was gangbusters. It was just, it was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. We're teaching classes on how to get your CCW and everything. And then the Bruin case happened in the Supreme Court. And which is by far the best Supreme Court decision, is certainly, you know, Second Amendment related ever. And they mentioned San Diego as a success story.
Really?
And in the Bruin, they didn't say San Diego County gun owners, but they did yeah. say, hey, San Diego started issuing. None of this stuff that you guys are talking about, you know, where people are just dying in the streets and it turns into the, you know,
Wild
OK
West,
Corral. Right? Yeah. You know, none of that's happened. It's been a huge success story. And, you know, that success story is our organization's success story. And we're That's mentioned right. in the Bruin case, and, or, you know, at least the results. And I'm enormously proud of that.
Yeah.
Enormously proud of that.
That's a huge accomplishment. Back. Yeah.
Like, that sure. was us.
For sure. And have they tightened up on CCWs, or have they stayed still issuing?
No. So we, we just had an election. We just got a new sheriff. The previous sheriff left. He retired. And we actually became friends with him. You know, we fought him and you know, for years. And then he finally said, okay, well, I'll change my policy. And he did good by us, and that was fine. But he left, and we were a major player in getting the new sheriff elected. And a lot of people, you know, we kind of raised some eyebrows because we endorsed the Democrat. And the Democrat was by far the better choice when it comes to CCW.
Interesting. Really? That's crazy.
Yeah, everybody, wow. right? But we are nonpartisan. We don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, libertarian,
whoever's for the cause.
Yeah. And
I was
we,
like, you voted for a Democrat. Cut.
Did you get any pushback for that?
Oh, God, yes.
But were other policies that you sacrificed?
Not in the 2A. Not in the
not
Second
in
Amendment.
Not in the 2A. Yeah. But as opposed to... see, that's the part that's tough for me, too. I mean, I run a gun store and stuff, and it is the utmost important in my work, but I don't know what else I'm going to sacrifice for the community.
It's not always an easy situation. I can tell you this, the Republican who jumped in at the last minute, that's another thing I'm really, really proud of. He was not a good candidate. He was weak as far as like had no backbone. And he was very comfortable with the idea of using government power against people.
Oh, yeah, you don't want that guy. Yeah,
I was the worst.
That's a hard pass.
He was a toxic combination. But this guy would go out and pretend like he was Mr. you know, like he was Mr. 2A and, oh, no, 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 I'm not, you know. Meanwhile, I'm like, wait a minute, but you did this, 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 and this in your history. You know, we don't even, I've never even heard of you. Like, what, you have nothing to do with Second Amendment. You have nothing to do with CCW.
Right.
And, you know, so it was our candidate was, she's been great and far better than the Republican at the time, but still people, you know, that R is really, really important to some people.
Yeah.
It's not important to me, to be honest with you.
It's not important to me also. I'm a registered Republican, but I want who's ever best for me and for the community and for the country at different levels. Like, you know.
So Martinez, Sheriff Martinez, we were happy, you know, a year ago if we got about 200 a month CCWs issued. That was a good month. Since she got into office in January, they've been averaging over 700.
Holy shit. That's so a big difference.
She
that's
has rad. Been wonderful. She doesn't hesitate to call me up and say, hey, this is going on. I want to make sure that we're on the same page, whatever. She's been wonderful.
Have you seen any indication in crime statistics or anything like that since more CCWs have been issued? I was just curious. Maybe not, but
yeah, nothing. No.
Okay, because it's still probably new. I know where you're going. Yeah.
No, I know where you're going. I keep kind of waiting for it to be, you know, to get mature enough, I guess, to get us, you know, far enough into the process to show that, you know, like defensive gun uses are increasing and violent crime is decreasing, that sort of thing.
Even if it's a tick, even if it's 1%, even if it's 2%, not that you could wholly, no one would let you wholly attribute it to the CCWs,
right.
But we know that if it's going down, that's what's most important, you know?
They just, the county board, which is at the time was a 3-2 anti-gun to gun ratio, so 3 anti-gunners and 2, they issued some bias company to do a study on reducing gun violence. And they did this huge study. They had these listening sessions, and we dominated these listening sessions.
I can imagine.
We had, at one of them, we had 100-5, you know, 100 on our side, 5 on there, just dominated this listening session. We have some really smart people on our board and our members. And they were trashing the statistics and the way they were doing the study and poking holes in it. And they finally came out with the results of the study, and it totally backfired on them. It's everything that we've been saying. 70% are homicide. Wait, 70% are suicide. 30% are homicide. If it is a homicide, it's probably crime. It's probably professional criminal and professional criminal. If it's a suicide, it's probably an older person, an older man in the East County of San Diego.
Interesting.
So just like what we've been saying, it's criminals killing criminals, or it's a mental health issue.
Yeah.
You know, and it totally backfired. And, you know, it was it was really interesting. So they did this huge study. They were, you know, 70%, 30%, and all these big statistics and pie charts and blah, 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 blah. If you boil it down, they looked at a 5-year period. It was, I think it was 2015 to 2020, something like that. And there were only 1,300 people that actually died where a gun was involved. 1,300. Now, it's tragic when anyone dies.
In what area?
In San Diego.
Okay.
But we're talking this whole big thing, over 1,300 people. I actually looked it up, and I don't have it solid yet, but it looks like more people died from jaywalking. In that,
I bet.
And I'm like, what are we doing? Like, it was clear, but it's totally backfired. Now, I know the other side is probably going to take statistics from this thing and use it to their, you know, for their talking points. But in my opinion, it severely backfired on them.
Yeah.
And again, because our members were involved, we had a huge influence and we're mentioned all over the place in the report, in the final report. So, basically the county board said we're not doing anything. This is this is clearly not
So what did you do previously before you joined?
So I was in banking for about 16 years. Well, financial services. I was actually a financial advisor, and I went into banks. Their banks were looking for licensed people that had experience with investments. And then I got into business banking, and then finally I was a trust officer for a business trust officer, which basically meant I had like a portfolio of 401ks. Most of them are law offices, and their 401k was
with. Did you have a Series 3?
I had a 7.
Okay.
Yeah,
I had a 6. I was a commodities broker for a little bit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I did that. Those tests suck, man. The Series 7, the Series 6, man, I studied for a year. It was, and I passed it on the first try, which was a lot, but nice. I couldn't, you, if you paid me $1 million, I couldn't remember anything out of that test right now. It's a lot of stuff, dude.
It was a comfortable, you know, pretty secure, you know, well-paying job. And it was also sucking the life and soul out of my body. So,
is that why you decided to do the good fight for the 2A community? Or?
Well, I was just obsessed. I was seriously, I was volunteering. There were weeks I was volunteering 30, 40 hours.
Oh, wow.
You know, after I couldn't wait to get off of work because I was going to some city council meeting or some meeting or whatever. I was obsessed. So, but the idea of starting a second amendment, you know, coming home and say, hey, hon, I got this great idea. Guess what I'm going to do?
Like, you're crazy. You know,
if I think if I had any, if I got any enjoyment and personal fulfillment from my job, it would have been tougher to just do this.
Right.
You know, but fortunately I didn't.
Were you big on guns before you started this, or was it a more on the political side, the legislative side, stuff like that? Or was it like, I was just a gun nut before this?
Yeah, it's a good question. So for as long as I can remember, I've been into guns. I'm not as much of a gun guy like as a lot of folks. Like, oh, well, Colt came out with this model back in
blah, blah, blah. Not me either.
Like, I'm not that, but 21st birthday, went out and bought a used Glock 19, which is still my everyday carry.
Nice.
It was, it's a
Gen 3?
No, this
Gen
was
2.
I bought it in, actually, it was right after, I bought it in 98. It was manufactured in 94, I think. Mm-hmm. So I think that makes it a Gen 2.
It might be.
There's no rail.
Finger grooves?
No finger grooves.
Yeah, Gen 2.
There was no, I don't even think at the time, rails didn't exist.
There's only some Gen 3s are 2-pin, right? That was when they made that crossover from 2 to 3. So they have finger grooves, but they're 2-pin. But all of your 2s should be 2-pin with no finger grooves.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're not going.
Well, I knew this guy in high school. This guy, when we were in high school, he used to let us use his house to party in.
And I like where this is going.
His name was, at the house.
And his name was Neil, and we all called him Neil the Seal because he claimed to have washed out of Buds. And okay. Neil the Seal had a Glock 19. He showed us one night, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. Couldn't wait to get to 21 and get my Glock 19. That didn't scratch the itch. So I bought a Mossberg 500 that I still own and love.
Yep.
That didn't scratch the itch. So I went in because I'm a huge Red Dawn fan, and I'm like, I need an AK. And the guy behind the counter is like, no, you don't want an AK. You know, it was 1999. He goes,
you wanted an AK.
I'm like, I want an AK. I know what I want. Wolverines. And so he said, no. And he sold me on like an old school AR. At the time, it was cutting edge. This is 99, so no M4s.
A2 front sight post.
Yeah, 20-inch barrel. Yeah. Armalite. So I bought that.
You still have that?
Okay, so here's the thing.
Oh, Armalite. It'd be so cool. You got to hold on to the Armalite. Yeah.
So I have changed every single part of that gun, except most of the bolt carrier group.
Okay.
Everything else has changed. And I probably shouldn't say this on it. Anyway, I had to change the
lower at one point.
But
if it was before 2014, so I have some lowers. I just built a new gun with an old CMMG lower that I had from like 2008. So if it was before 2014 and there was no electronic registration for long gun or receivers, then you're fine saying it. So if it was
I bought it in 99 and I. Well,
then don't say.
Here's the thing: I've changed every single part. When M4s got popular, I went and bought a shorter upper, and I think I gave my longer upper away to somebody else. Collapsible stocks came in, and I got a collapsible stock, and then eventually, I realized at some point that I needed to change the lower. I got a Rock River 2-stage, everything's been changed except for most of the bolt carrier group. So it's the same gun.
Right.
It occupies the same space in the universe.
Right.
But the only thing left that's original is is the BCG.
Well, you probably changed the gas ring since then, right. and maybe the bolt.
Pin.
Yeah.
Firing pin.
Firing pin, yeah.
Very cool. Twice.
So you never got the AK?
Oh, never got the AK.
What? We have some in stock, man.
Still never got it.
You got to get you one.
I know. Every once in a while. Never got the AK. Okay. So I bought that. So then I'm like taking on everybody wants to go shooting. So I'd go shooting with everybody and take them. And I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't take a class. I just, you know, guys, we just think, you know, gun knowledge, it's just osmosis, right? We don't actually have to learn anything. We just are born. It's in
common
our DNA.
Sense, right?
Yeah. So
hunter gatherers, you know?
In 2007, I was out with some friends. We were shooting, and a BLM guy came, or Bureau of Land Management, which BLM was different back then. Totally different. This BLM law enforcement guy rolled up and started harassing me for my Mossberg 500. And he was like, I don't know, this is an assault weapon. And I'm like, no, actually it's not. I was super polite, super nice and professional with him. And I started walking him kind of down this path. And I'm like, no, it's actually, you know, it's pump action, blah, 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 right? And he goes, yeah. Let's say, you know, the barrel is 18 and a quarter inches, which is a quarter inch over the middle. He goes, yeah. It's the overall length. It's 31 inches. That's 1 inch over the 30-inch middle, right? He goes, yeah. I said, nope, shotguns, it's 26 inches. And I was super polite about it, but I showed him he didn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
So he was – I got to know – you know, I got to talking to the guy. I didn't get to know him, but I got to talking to him, and he was a gun nut. He was a gun guy, and he was ready to arrest me over a pump-action Mossberg.
Why?
Wow. For a government check. He was getting paid.
I'm doing my job. I'm keeping the street safe. But
so that was the turning point. I said, this has to change. This is ridiculous. It was a very meaningful moment in my life where I just said, this cannot stand. This can't be how it is anymore, you know? And I started getting involved. I started volunteering, got involved in different gun clubs, the Republican Party, different campaigns on different levels, made a bunch of mistakes, learned from them. And that's what led to San Diego County Gun Owners.
Yeah, that's what's crazy too, right? We, you know, there's some of us at the shop that have registered pistol lowers, and some of them are behind the counters for display for customers to look at and see, you know, different parts, stuff like that. And like, I won't say any names, but like some police departments will come in and be like, oh, what's that? Like, oh, that's about 10 inch. Oh, can I build that? And like, you can absolutely build that. What do you
way
mean?
Way easier than we can.
Yeah, and a lot. You'd be surprised, even now, like how many don't know. Like they just don't know the gun laws and what you can and can't have.
What's legal, what's not.
Yeah, they don't know. And it just wows me. Like,
not all cops are gun guys, though. That's why.
And for sure. And then, but back to your thing, like here's a cop that could arrest you or something, and they really don't know the restrictions and like, oh, that's illegal. Are you sure it is?
His was worse because his was a gun guy.
No,
you know, like that wants to arrest a gun. That's like a motorcycle cop pulling motorcycle riders over just for the fuck of it.
Yeah,
you know?
So
like,
that was really a big part of why I was bummed out. I remember thinking to myself,
dude, same team.
Yeah,
same
exactly.
Team. Yeah, like for a government check, this is all it took. You know, you're getting a paycheck from the government, so you've totally turned on your principles. You know, I mean, it just was really, it really bummed me out. I really can't emphasize that enough. I remember going back and telling people, I remember sitting there at the campsite and we, you know, around the fire and just sitting there and thinking for a while.
Bummed out.
And just bummed out. And I remember going back and talking to friends and family and they're and coworkers and they're just like, oh, what were you doing out there with guns? And I'm like what?
Shooting them?
Yeah, what? Like, no, I'm the good guy. This is what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it really affected me.
What was your experience with the Republican Party? And I will. That's a preface almost. I've never wanted to get involved in politics, but I feel like if we're going to nab that next generation of 18 to 21 to 25 year olds, a lot of the times it's not the guys. And this is stereotyping, right? It's not the guys that look like John, right? Your standard white guy with a goatee who wears a polo shirt. He doesn't always wear polo shirts anymore, right? It's guys like us that have head tattoos and hand tattoos and gauged ears who present a different side to the Republican Party or conservative-ish views, right? Not to say that you're Republican, but no matter how much you want to fight it, you do have conservative-ish views.
Yeah.
You know, not that you do, but like I'm socially very middle, right? And fiscally very conservative and pro-Constitution. I feel like the Republican Party, not to get too much on politics, but fuck it, lacks some of that. It's not all old white money. It's not all people that look, you would not see us walking on the street and go, yep, that's two fucking Republicans right there at all, right? And it's like, can we change this perception? Can we? I would be more inclined. There's so many people that have taken up the 2A fight not to say that I couldn't do anything, but I feel like I'd be more inclined to go to a fucking rally that is a bunch of normal looking people when we're abnormal looking and being like, it's okay to have views that are outside of your generation's views. It's okay to establish your own view and for what you want for this country and what you want for the laws. Did you experience anything like that in the Republican side? It just seems like it's a lot. Both of them, it's just a lot of the fucking same people regurgitating the same bullshit versus teaching people that they can think on their own.
Yeah, there's a couple things. First, we were saying I didn't want to get involved in politics. None of us did. What happened was politics got involved with us. We were minding our own business, you know, shooting guns, owning guns. Politics came and stepped on us, you know, which, you know, that, you know. The second part is the Republican Party. I was positive that, you know, I showed up and I'm like, hey, nobody's talking about guns here. I'm going to start talking about guns and I'm going to be a hero. And everybody's like, oh, Mike, thank you so much. No, no, that's not what it was at all. I kind of got placated and patted on the head and like, oh, he's the gun guy. Go talk to him and whatever, blah, blah, blah. But when it came down to like serious business, like, well, wait a minute, your Republican nominee here, your chosen person is horrible on guns. Yeah, but Mike, you know, come on, you got to understand. I don't have to understand
playing
anything.
The game.
You know what I mean? I don't understand anything. You guys got to understand. But I was just kind of one voice. I was kind of a talking point. I was like a walking talking point. Like, oh, he's the gun guy. Blah blah blah. You know, we have 47 other things that we
kind of brushed off. Basically,
they didn't care about me until I raised money and people. Then it was like, okay, now we have to contend with gun owners. You know, and those are the only tools you have in politics.
Is that what politics is all about? Money?
Money and people.
Money and people.
That's it.
That's the power.
Yep. You got to have more money. You got to have more people. And now it's like, okay, now we have to really take this seriously. Now it really matters if this person cares about guns or not. But I was telling, I got really frustrated with the Republican Party. I kept trying to make them a Second Amendment organization. And I realized, you know, I tell people, it was like if I went to Burger King and kept ordering lasagna. And they were just like, that's not what we don't do lasagna. Yeah, but you guys make food. You should make lasagna.
Burger King, doesn't they say, have it your way?
So I realized they're not going to be a Second Amendment organization. Now, I will tell you that being a nonpartisan Second Amendment group makes Republicans more Republican because now they're going, wait, wait, wait. You might endorse, you know, my opponent? Okay, well, now I have to earn your vote.
Yeah.
And I don't care why people
behave. That's fair.
Yeah. I don't care why people behave. I just care that they behave. So even if this guy who's like, okay, I'll vote your way. I'll go to the range. I'll be a gun guy. You know, even if he's not totally sincere, I don't care why he behaves. Just that he behaves.
But what about once he gets an office and he goes, yeah, fuck off.
Yeah, that's another.
It's happened, but
you lose a huge part of that constituency that voted for you, I guess, right?
Well, that's the hope. Okay. I mean, it's happened, but more often than not, it's been the other way around. We've turned people. Like I had this one lady who, she was the mayor of a small town, and she voted for this resolution that called for a gun ban, and we turned her around. She's, you know, very much. She voted our way more than once after that. Went to the range, learned whatever, you know, education. We've turned around. There's one really bad person or one really bad story. He got into office.
That's like the worst.
No, his name's John McCann, and he's currently the mayor of Chula Vista. And he absolutely stabbed us in the back and lied about it. And it was like a movie. It was as ugly gets. And it's been really unfortunate. That's probably the worst. The more likely bad scenario is they're like, oh yeah, I'm all into guns, help me out, you know, money and people, and then they kind of turn not anti-gun, they just kind of go, well, yeah, now's not a good time, maybe Luke next time. They kind of get, you know. But for the most part, we have a lot of really good stories.
They turn flaccid. It's a perfect word for it.
Matt, so that, I mean, obviously, yeah, that is tough, but I definitely appreciate what you guys do, and no one really thinks about it. Like, you know, people right now want to complain about like the president and Newsom and, you know, all the people you see on TV every day. But you guys worry about the people that start. It's like, okay, Newsom's there now, but where did he start? He started at whatever, you know, council level or whatever, you know, and you guys think about that and you guys try to get those in the door now, like in a sense, young, right?
Like doing the groundwork,
doing the groundwork, getting them in that in hopes one day they'd be in those positions, you know, and it's all, you guys are literally planting the seed, you know, planting the seed of, you know, all those council people and getting them all in there, which is no one, I think, people overlook that. You know, we're all worried about what's happening right now. Oh, you know, this guy screwed us over. This guy did this to us. And, you know, can't believe we got this guy's in office. Well, it's like, well, he had to start somewhere. And, you know, San Diego gun owners worries about that somewhere. You know, like you guys are taking care of that. And that's why I think your organization is great, because that's, it's overlooked big time.
This episode is brought to you by Rifle Supply. Rifle Supply is your one-stop shop for all your accessories and firearm needs, and we're dedicated to top-quality customer service. We appreciate you supporting our podcast. So for all our subscribers, go to riflesupply.com and use the code SHOOTTHEMIC for free shipping on your order. Now let's get back to the podcast.
Yeah, I think it was a big hole in the front line. And it's the other part is, too, if we get a bunch of city council members, you know, imagine if Orange County, every single city council member was pro-Second Amendment. Even if they didn't move up, everybody that goes through Orange County on their way to Congress or Assembly or State Senate or whatever, they always look for, you know, the city council. The city council members are kind of the workhorse of the political field. So if they go and say, hey, I'm running for Assembly, you know, and every city council member is like, okay, where do you stand on the Second Amendment? Like, could you imagine that? You know, even if they don't move up, like, that piece is extremely important,
too.
Yeah,
that's true.
Totally. But you're right. It's a lot of people. I get really frustrated sometimes. You know, we just had Imperial Beach is a little town right on the border. And they had this gun shop that wants to open up. And the city council is relatively new. She actually ran a gun shop there for years, left, and came back. She's trying to reopen this gun shop. And they were giving her a hard time. And, you know, we got maybe 10 people to show up. We should have gotten 150 people to show up. And what's frustrating is, you know, what, a couple months ago, I don't really watch the news anymore. Like, if it's not Second Amendment or, you know, I don't really care. So a couple months ago, I kind of, you know, occasionally things like trickle down, even if I'm not watching the news, I kind of, and I'm like, wait a minute, we're all mad at Bud Light? Like, what's going on with Bud Light, you know? And then I read the news and I'm like, I can't get you guys to show up at a city council meeting. But you can be outraged over Bud Light, you know, which I'm not saying they should or shouldn't be outraged. You know, that's not, you know, but it is very frustrating sometimes.
Right? That's what I was talking about. Yeah. Like, it's a
more
hard,
important thing.
No, it's just a hard job what they do.
Oh, yeah.
Getting people there who say I'm about it and then they don't go act on it. Yeah.
It's frustrating. But, you know, we also have a lot of victories under our belt, and that part kind of makes up for it. But it is kind of like – it makes – I don't know. You roll your eyes a lot going, oh, come on, let's not focus on that. You know, okay, have an opinion there, whatever, and stick to your principles and, you know, vote with your wallet. But you can have a real effect, right here in your backyard.
Yeah.
So were they able to open that gun shop? And
we're still working on it. I've been in contact with a couple of the city council members. It looks like it's definitely going to happen. I think they were surprised by – there was nobody supported the idea of not having a gun shop. Everybody was pro-gun shop. And there was even a retired federal agent there who was a former customer. It went really, really well. And they said, okay, no problem. They said, we just want to make sure – we just want to do a study and make sure, is there anything we need to do? So at our next city council meeting, we'll put this on the agenda. We'll get it all taken care of. Unfortunately, the next city council meeting was 44 days away or something like that.
Jesus.
So there was like this headline in the paper, you know, Imperial Beach puts 44-day moratorium on, you know, gun shops or whatever, which was kind of true. But, you know, I think we're gonna come through and it'll be fine. I talked to a couple of the city council members, super receptive. And they were very much like, hey, look, we just want to get this right. You know, we don't really know, so we're reaching out to you, so let's kind of get this right.
I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool. We looked at San Clemente, and it's funny because it just came up today because one of our old friends came in, and the biggest problem that we have, we'd like to go. I want to personally go to San Clemente. I think it's a great area where I can get northern San Diego. We can get northern San Diego, the Marines, and you know, right south of the Y. We can nab all those customers. They will want to come to us. We ran into huge problems finding a place for it to go because you introduced me to Gene James, met with him. Council is wishy-washy, but we think we could get it done there. We just can't find a location where they'll allow a fucking gun store.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Isn't that ridiculous?
All the retail spots, you have to get sign off from everybody that's there. I found a great one right off of Pico. A perfect spot. Nope. Don't want anything to do with it. Guy was rude as shit. Real estate agent. Rude as hell. Was super polite. Just asked, like, we'll pay over asking. Whatever. Just let us get in. We have all of our paperwork. We have, I mean, a very large gun store. I'm not going to throw out the number, but it's going to bring in a lot of revenue to your city. I already told Gene, I was like, I'll hire half of my staff from your city. If they apply, I'll hire half my staff. So I'm bringing jobs to the city. And we've just run into a really tough time. We did find a couple properties and we couldn't pull the trigger because there's a lot of insurance issues. There's a lot of things that go into it. But man, if anybody that's listening to this knows anybody in San Clemente that owns light industrial or industrial and wants to rent to us, we need about 3,000 square feet, 4,000 square feet. Like, let's go.
So part of the... I'm willing to bet that most people, I don't know, the people you're getting pushback from, I don't know this, but I'd bet that they don't have a strong opinion either way. They're just more worried about
the rest of their tenants.
Well, they're worried about the other side's pushback more than they're worried about our pushback.
Oh yeah.
And that's one of my goals is to change it so that everyone is far more worried about our pushback than the other side, because right now it's not the case.
You guys don't have anything. In San Diego, you guys have a few good gun stores. But, like, down in that San Clemente area, there's a couple shops. They're very small. They don't do what we do. There's a range down there. It doesn't do what we do. And it's like, I guess we'll call you up for some action if we get a spot and we're getting in pushback from the city council.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'd shop there for sure. I bought my 458 SOCOM I bought from you guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was a while ago because we haven't carried any SOCOMs in a minute.
It was just a couple years ago.
Yeah, a couple years. Yeah. Well, that's like a while
I think. I can't quite remember. I don't know, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like, listen, the 458 SOCOM. It's
like the pit bull of an AR round.
Oh, my God. It's like, they're like tubes of lipstick.
Yeah, they're enormous. They're huge. Yeah.
So last year we went to the dinner you guys had. Mm-hmm. Was it for the Orange County or San Diego?
That was Orange County.
Yeah. And it was great. Like, the people that were there, you know, mingling with, you know, it was a good time. And it's always great to be with like-minded people, you know, and kind of be in that atmosphere. And you guys know how to throw a great dinner. I mean, we had a good time.
Thank you.
And I know this year so are you going to be doing that every year?
So we've been doing it every year in San Diego. It got nicknamed Gun Prom. And if you go to gunprom.com, we have the listings. We did Orange County doesn't have one scheduled. Inland Empire doesn't have one scheduled. But San Diego's is scheduled for September. And San Diego's has been going on the longest, so it's also the biggest. Like, up to between 800 and 1,000 people.
Holy shit. Wow.
Yeah, yep. Last year the prize table, I want to say we had 37 guns.
Damn.
I think it was 36 guns and a flamethrower.
So where do you guys host a San Diego one at with that many people?
It's called the Town and Country. It's like a resort. They have a couple of ballrooms that we outgrew the ballroom, and now we're in their like convention hall.
That's rad.
Yeah.
Damn, that's awesome.
Well, maybe we'll have to donate a gun that like nobody else is donating.
So that's the smart thing to do.
No. Like, we'll have you trick out a fucking AR to where it's like, it's something that we create things, not tooting his horn or our horn, but like, we create stuff that other gun stores cannot create. They just don't create.
And that's the way to play this thing. We get gun shops, and I'm so thankful for everyone's donation. Every gun shop is so cool about it. And it's become an annual event, and some shops close early just so they can attend. That's cool. And it's really neat. But the way to play it is to, like, a custom gun, like, get something in there where you're the showstopper. Everyone that does that gets customers from that from that, you know? And absolutely. And it's so fun. It's so cool to
see. Maybe we'll do a Glock and a rifle or something. Do something fucking match cool. Set. Yeah, something cool. I don't know.
Let's do it.
But the
you like you don't have enough custom builds on your plate.
That's
right
the
now.
Third one you told me about today.
We have we hopefully have one coming out for an NFL player.
So
I'm not going to mention his name yet, but we're pretty stoked on
offense
it,
so or defense.
Defense. Right, Super Bowl winner. Yeah,
that seems
so
appropriate.
It should be pretty cool. But back to the gun prom. Yes. So you're not doing Orange County. So did you think about? Has there been talks of just joining up forces and power in numbers and going IE and Orange County and combining them for the dinner or something like that in a middle area or something like that? I mean,
I definitely would like to. So we, Orange County and Inland Empire, I'm trying to get them over kind of this hump, you know, this financial hump, to make them more self-sustainable. And I want them to, you know, have a full-time employee in each spot, and I'm trying to work towards that. So I think the economy worked against this mm-hmm. year. So in this year probably, but in the future, yeah, I want gun problems all over California for sure, because they're fun.
Well, it's just a bummer that we're not going to have one in Orange County. So it's like if we could help out, or if there's different things where you can get multiple people together and still have it. I mean, that's cool. I'm sure the Orange County people are kind of bummed that there wasn't. But I mean, I understand. It's just economics, right? It either makes sense or it doesn't.
I'm going to try really hard to have one in the spring. I'm going to try really hard to get, you know, some level of gun prom in the spring, probably at the Orange Hill restaurant again.
It was cool. Yeah. That was fun. Did you? You didn't go to that
I
one?
I didn't
huh?
get the invite.
You get the invite.
he was
working
gone,
on
right.
He was working on
he
custom
gone.
Jobs.
Yeah, you were gone.
Oh yeah, I was gone.
No, you were gone.
You were gone.
When was
you,
it?
You weren't there for it. I don't remember the. It was June 27th. It's 3:30. I don't remember the date.
I was here that day.
It was like March. March of last year.
Yeah,
that was. I think your dad was sick. Yeah, your dad was sick.
Well, yeah. Well, somebody reached out from Orange County that they wanted to host a meeting at our shop. And I know before we used to do it, but what really sucks now, well, you've been in our shop now. You see all our gondolas. We have we're going to have two more gondolas we're building this weekend. And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, look, I would really love to help you. And I know we've hosted them here before. I go, but now our showroom is just, it's too packed to, like, you know, host 50 plus people.
Well, we're experimenting with doing something a little different than the monthly meetings. We started having, and they're coming up, and I'll let you guys know about when they are. But we're looking at doing fewer but bigger and more focused type events. So rather than a monthly meeting, it'd be like a town hall focused on public safety, where we'd have, you know, guest speakers that would talk about public safety and that sort of thing. We've been doing it. We've tried it in other places. It's working really, really well. So basically, it's a good way to introduce people to our organization. It's a good way for them to get something valuable too, rather than just free pizza. You know, they're going like, oh, hey, I want to hear, you know, I don't know, a sheriff or whatever. So I want to hear someone talk. I want to hear somebody, an expert, talk about this. You know what? You know, okay, I am worried about public safety. What can I do? Well, you know, firearms, CCWs. All that other valuable information, and hopefully it would help bring people in that maybe aren't quite in the gun world yet.
Think it's, her name is Sarah, right? That runs down here.
Heather.
There you go, Heather. Yeah, she does.
You were close.
So close. She does an amazing job. You know, she always reaches out. She can set up a booth here and there. You know, and I always say yes. And you know, even with our cards and coffee, we have, you know, every month or so. You know, at first we didn't want to have any vendors, but I've always told her yes, like, yep, absolutely, come out, set up, you know.
You guys have been amazingly supportive of Orange County Gun Owners. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. And that's why we, you know, it's one of the many reasons we made sure to recognize you at the dinner.
That
gave
was
you
awesome.
An award. That was cool.
Are they coming to the
That was a good time. I wish you were there.
Maybe next year.
Well, we'll take the little cardboard Beetlejuice cutout next year. Yeah, we'll take them.
Are they coming to the Summer Bash, though?
So I reached out to them. She hasn't responded to me yet.
All right. Well, when's
the
summer?
Don't put her on blast to the boss.
Jesus. Oh, you want me to pull up the DM right now? So August 13th.
That's probably my fault. Okay, August 13th.
We're having the Rapid Supply Midsummer Bash. It's our first annual, 10 to 2 on Sunday. And we're just basically having the community out. We've literally have about 14 vendors already locked in.
Line them up.
Nice. And yeah, we just want to have an event for the community. Each vendor, if they're able to, we're asking like, hey, donate, you know, for, you know, a raffle.
Sure.
And then all the money we're going to raise from the raffle will go to a 501c. And nice. We haven't chosen yet, but we'll, you know, pick one that's 2A related or something. And yeah, so August 13th. So it's going to be pretty huge. We had a lot of great vendors so far. Taco truck, you know, the whole nine. It's going to be a great day for the community.
We'll definitely be there. Well, thank you for the invite, and I'll bring shirts and hats and stuff like that. Like Orange County got on our shirts and hats. Perfect. For raffles. Nice.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. Yeah. No. So I know you guys you did a post. So like you guys have like your opinion on the NRA. What's your opinion on the NRA and how they work? And
so
let's get into it.
You're talking about the National Restaurant Association.
Love them. Love them. Love them. They do a great job.
You know, it's important. You know, I used to do a lot of volunteer work for the NRA. That's how I, when I, you know, after the BLM law enforcement guy harassed me, the first thing I did is I went and joined the NRA Members Council and got really involved. I went to their, you know, annual meetings a few times, and I was really, really heavily involved. I think we need a strong NRA, and I want a strong NRA. And they've done some fantastic things. I got to say, in the 80s, not a lot of people know this, the NRA saved the Second Amendment in the 80s. And at the head of that was an attorney working for NRA ILA named Wayne LaPierre. And that's how he became the head of NRA. So they've done a lot of good things. Now, that being said, in the last few years, you know, they've had a lot of problems, and
it's a big organization. And when you get that big, it's tough to stay tight.
It is. And they've had some self inflicted injuries, and they've had some injuries from people that just want their head on a platter. And I don't know enough about the situation to critique. I can tell you this. It's hard running an organization, you know, so I don't want to throw any stones. I know that there's some things I disagree with. There's some things I agree with, but I definitely am looking forward to them being strong again. In the meantime, there's been a kind of a vacuum of leadership, and organizations like Firearms Policy Coalition, you know, they've stepped up and said, hey, we're going to start leading the charge. And I think that's been good overall. I think that NRA being the top dog is important, but being such a top dog, I think there was a lot of room for other organizations, other voices, other leaders to be heard, and they're doing that. You know, Second Amendment Foundation and Firearms Policy Coalition and, you know, some of the Gun Owners of America, Gun Owners of California, they're doing a fantastic job. So I still pay my dues. I'm an NRA member. There are, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 organizations I'm a member of, sit down and write a check every year. But I kind of stopped paying attention. I had some personal issues with some of the employees. Those employees are, at least one as I know of, is gone. You know, they haven't been the most cooperative and friendly with what I was trying to accomplish, you know, as far as starting San Diego County Gun Owners and Orange County Gun Owners, Inland Empire Gun Owners. They have at times been adversarial.
Do they fear it takes away from their support?
You think they're your competition or something?
Yeah, I think that it's they're looking at it as there's
dollars.
Yeah, there's like, hey, you're taking
money.
And I'm going, no. We're bringing in people who never cared about the Second Amendment, who are now realizing how important. You know, we're bringing in donors who would never donate to the NRA or never have. Right. Not, you know. You know, we're playing in a whole different pond. We actually have more, we're more closely related as a pack in the way we operate. We're more closely related to organizations like the Lincoln Club, or I don't know if you're familiar with the Lincoln Club, or we're far more like the Republican Party than we are the NRA, you know? And in that we're a political organization focused on the Second Amendment, you know?
But it's key that you don't say business. We're not a business, and we're not a for-profit business. And I think that's something when you get that big, there's a lot of private jets to support. There's a lot of big fucking salaries to support.
What, with the NRA?
With the NRA. Yeah. So a lot of money has to come in. I'm a member too, like, you know, like, I understand the role that they play, which is at the upper echelon, that upper level of legislation and lobbying to those big boy, big money places. I get it. But when they're going to bitch at the people that are trying to create their foundation,
trying to help out
over money,
yeah,
then you see, you can, this is not my experience, right? Yeah. But you can see where their heart really lies. Is it in the movement or is it in the money?
And it's even, let's just say that every dollar spent by or on Wayne LaPierre is totally legit. Let's just give him the benefit of the doubt. There's still, I think that his presence has become a hindrance to their mission. And if anybody who, you know, and he's tried to work through it and it hasn't worked, and I think that I think it's time that the NRA moves on. You know, whether or not, let's just say everything he's done has been fine, upstanding, and by the book or whatever, he's still a hindrance, you know? And I think it's time that I wish that people like Chris Cox hadn't left, you know, the NRA ILA. They've lost a lot of really good people, and I wish that a decision was made before that, but I think it's time for a new generation of NRA people.
And maybe a little bit younger, too. And you have to have somebody that has the skill set and the intelligence to be able to keep all the people that are there,
yeah,
but also to be able to bring on new people.
Could you imagine, like, an Adam Kraut running the NRA?
Who's I don't.
You know, Adam Kraut. He works for Second Amendment Foundation now, but just a real dynamic, smart attorney who's been at the forefront with the Second Amendment. He's mostly East Coast, but... Anyway, I agree.
Just different vibe.
I feel like the NRA is just like, it's old, right?
I mean, it is, but...
Like, there's all these new organizations that are coming up that are like younger and, I don't know.
Well, yeah, would you say the NRA is like one of the longest running?
I believe
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Longest. Like, are they changing with the times?
I don't, and that's where, I think you're right. Because I see a lot, like FPC, I see them like everywhere,
yeah,
and I see their daily posts with that they're fighting here, they're doing this, and it's like, damn, they're really like, they're getting in there, they're getting dirty, and they're like, they're fighting, and yeah, you don't really see that in NRA.
Are they old and set in their ways? And
well, like, I mean, you're not gonna see when I'm lobbying to this senator and he needs a $80,000 check,
yeah,
because I need him to push. Like, there's things that go on that we don't see that I'm sure you know about. Like, they maybe not know about, but we know that they're present, right? So I don't know if it's something that they're out advertising what has to be done. I just want to know that they're fighting on the same side as me.
Well,
there's shit that has to be done that you're not going to publicize. But
so I remember years ago. So they had about, at their peak, my understanding is they had about 5.5 million members. Whereas you look at that and it's like, that's a big chunk of revenue.
Yeah.
That's a lot of members. And it made them a big dog.
I would say times how much a month? Jesus.
But honestly, I thought they should have, you know, 20 million members, you know, but in a country of 350 million, we only had 5.5 million NRA members. I always wish we had more.
That makes sense.
But, you know, just lost my train of thought.
Should
have stayed at Holiday Inn Express last night. So okay, they had 5.5 million members, and they were you know, they were doing a really good job of being, you know, the face. And I don't think they have 5.5 million members anymore. Mm. And you know, you have
Jamie, look that up.
They have 4.3 million.
Okay, that's a huge drop, right? Yeah.
Can you look up what it was 20 years ago?
Yeah.
So if you have let's say you have 5 million members, just to make it easy. 5 million members, and I remember years ago, you got to be careful, because if you step too far out, you know, you have these 5 million members, you know, and you step too far out, then you might lose these 5. Maybe you'll pick up, you know, 100,000, you know, by sponsoring whatever,
yeah,
but then maybe you'll lose 500,000 because, right. And I remember they got really involved in – like the border issue, you know, immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
why are you stepping in that?
Yeah, you guys are a Second Amendment.
We're in right field. We're in left field.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, and now I would be willing to bet those 5 or 5.5 million members probably wanted them to do that, you know? And but how many people didn't become an NRA member
because of that.
Because of that.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know, just
even more now since the pandemic, so many more not gun people own guns. Democrats own guns. People that never owned guns now own guns.
Yeah.
You should be able to convert that. You should be looking at conversion ratio of what's the percentage of people, if 10 million people in California own guns, 8 million of them should be fucking NRA members. 9 million should be NRA members because they know that they want to keep those guns and keep the ability to protect themselves. So something's missing on conversion. It's just like when I have a customer walk through the door, we need to convert them, right? By treating them right, by showing them the right product, by giving them the knowledge they need. It's the same thing with anything. You're trying to get them to be part of your side. Did you find anything?
Yeah, 20 years ago, they had 2.5 million.
Okay, so that was 20 years ago. Yeah. But that was in 2000. But we were talking back in the 80s and 90s. Now, the population was less. But, you know, and there's the other thing, too, that the gun ownership back then, I don't think everybody was on social media trying to promote that they were part of this group and stuff like that. So even when there was just as many gun owners or close, I don't think they felt the need. They didn't always feel the need to be part of that organization. Now everybody wants to be part of something. So becoming part of an organization is a big deal.
I actually, you know, I met Wayne LaPierre a couple times, and I will say, you know, this guy lived in airports. He wasn't sitting around eating bonbons. I mean, he was traveling the country. He was making decisions. He was doing, you know, and he traveled 24/7. When I met him, he had a former Dev Group SEAL as a bodyguard and a former Secret Service guy. Hmm. And he had to travel with these two guys 24/7 because his life was threatened, you know?
Really?
Yeah. Dang. And it's like, okay.
What are they going to do? They're not going to come with a gun.
They're going to shoot him. Oh, the irony, right?
Right. I mean, come on.
But I mean, he sacrificed a lot. He got a lot of good things done. I'm not bashing Wayne. You know, he did a great job in a lot of ways. He sacrificed a lot for the Second Amendment. But again, I think that at some point I was hoping he'd recognize the fact that he was detrimental and step aside.
Yeah.
So,
going back to your gun prom. What's the dinner like? What's the drink situation like? We talked about it today, and we'll talk to you, but we got to pay for our table, get our table. We got to do something there.
So we're going?
We are.
Well, not you.
He's the head of it, so sorry. He's the one that says
everybody. You're going to bring it up in front of him.
I'll talk to you later.
Shit.
I'll get my own table.
We just show up, and he's like, fuck you guys.
It says Rivals by Syracuse.
Tell us, yes. Anybody that's listening or that's going to listen or the people that are already members, like, what are we looking at? How is it? What's the vibe like?
Yes. Okay. You know? So it's a gala. So, you know, you don't have to wear a tie, but you can. You won't stand out, you know. Yeah. You know, suit and, you know, cocktail attire. It's definitely date night. So bring your girl. You know, girls, bring your guy. I've had a lot of people tell me, I got to go to all these different, you know, fundraising functions, and yours is the only one that my wife will go to, you know? So it's cool. You know, it's a lot of fun. There is a bar. We also have wine tables. A wine table is $1,600. It's 8 people, and that comes with a couple bottles of wine. There's a champagne table that's $3,000. That comes with champagne, and it comes with a bunch of raffle tickets and some gifts. So that's our top table. But if you just
can we trade the champagne out for a different kind of alcohol?
Yeah, we had somebody trade it out for like Jack a couple of years ago.
Just give me a bunch of beers. I'll be happy. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
If you're just an individual and you just want to come, you can buy an individual ticket for $99. I wanted to make sure that whether you were, you know, driving a Ferrari or driving a Yugo, that you could come to and celebrate the Second Amendment with us. So
what does that ticket include?
So the ticket includes dinner.
Okay.
You know, like a basic ticket, you get dinner. And then we have a presentation. We have, speakers and, you know.
Is Monique speaking again?
I don't know. I think we're. I don't think we're going. She's not going to be the MC this time.
Oh, really?
You know Monique?
Yeah.
How do you know Monique?
From DDT back in the day.
Yeah.
We met up at SHOT Show. Yeah, we've known each other since the gun shows back in the day at Orange County.
That's cool.
Yeah,
she's great.
Yeah.
We have our raffle table, we have a live auction, we have a silent auction. This year, too, we're going to have a couple of folks. John Petrolino, who's the Penn Patriot. He's a Second Amendment author. He's going to come. We always have some really interesting folks, YouTube guys, authors, that kind of thing, that attend. Adam Kraut, who I guess isn't that famous.
Some things I can't find. Yeah, I can't
but
follow
he, him. But we have some interesting people, and then people are like, oh man, I didn't, they'll see the pictures afterward. Like, I didn't know that guy was there. I love that guy. So this year, some of the more well-known names, if you have a YouTube channel or a book out and it's Second Amendment
related, like a podcast or something.
Yeah. We're going to put you at a table. We're going to put you at a table and you'll be able, like a little, almost like a mini, convention little thing where
people
can talk
to you and stuff.
But we have a, we have a background where you can get your picture taken. And, like I said, the big thing is the gun raffle.
Yeah.
30, 40 different guns, different kinds of guns. That's the big
thing. What's the date on that?
September 16th. That's a Saturday night. Doors open, I think, at 5:30.
If it's Rifle Supply, the big thing is the bar. So it's not an open bar.
I wasn't going to ask.
It's not open, but again, there'll be some drinks at the table.
Cool. Okay. That
sounds but reasonable. There are a bunch of bars.
Yeah.
In fact, we actually spend a lot of time trying to figure out how many bars, there's like a ratio that you have.
The more people drink, the more money they're going to spend. It's pretty easy.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
But the silent auction's actually pretty cool too. There's always like movie memorabilia. There's always Star Wars stuff and sports stuff and that kind of thing. The silent auction is actually really entertaining as well.
Very cool.
Sometimes it's like a little mini museum, it's kind of cool.
So yeah, I think when we went last year, when you buy raffle tickets, it's always fun to try to win something, right? And I think Trevor won a whole like core setup, hat, belts, all that stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a good time. Cool. We all bought tickets. We're all trying to win something,
So my buddy who's an instructor, his name's Bill DC from CCW USA down in San Diego, he won the flamethrower.
It was a pulse fire, probably. It was probably a pulse fire.
Kind of hold it like
we sell them.
Like Alien. Okay. Yep. Yeah. And he won it. We were trying to figure out what to do. Well, the Bruin case came out and Good Cause was out the window. You didn't have to.
So you put it on a CCW?
Well,
that would have been fucking awesome.
Backpack.
That's where he was going.
I know. Yes. No, we had a good now. Nah, it's totally now. My story's kind of like that would have been a way cooler
acting. Like ruin the story.
Ruin my story. No, but we had a Good Cause worksheet basically that showed you how to structure your Good Cause. So we took the Good Cause worksheet, we set it up in a parking lot, we flamed it.
Oh, that's cool. Right. That's cool. I haven't even shot the flamethrower yet. John did out at your guys' shoot. Did you guys shoot it?
Yeah, we all shot it.
Fuck you guys. Did you?
I wasn't there for that either. Thanks, guys.
This guy, he's like the bass player. He doesn't get invited.
He's busy. He's busy here becoming famous. Yeah. The Dana White builds and Natalie Eva Marie builds.
And then tomorrow, UFC, Jalen Turner, lightweight division is fighting. We're building an AK for him.
Oh, wow.
He was on our podcast.
That's awesome. Yeah.
He was one of our first guests.
How cool is that? That you guys, I think that's just cool, know?
It is. Neat. I mean, all our guests so far, it have been great. You guys, to be able to do these builds for celebrities like that, it's unreal.
And it's fun getting to talk to people from different aspects of the community,
Yep.
Like just get everyone else's point of view and stuff. So
it seems like the MMA community is very pro-gun.
Yeah,
that kind of rolls downhill. Yeah. Dana is very pro gun, and I don't think everybody takes to his ideals. But from what we found, a lot of them.
If you're willing to get in a cage and throw blows at someone, you're probably all right with guns.
Yeah,
I think that's been a very interesting thing with Orange County gun owners, San Diego County gun owners, Inland Empire, is we've given people the ability to kind of come out as gun owners, even media, dealing with the media has been really interesting. I've really found that for the most part, reporters and producers, they're not as vehemently anti-gun as we think. It's just that the other side has had, free rein to tell whatever story they want. So, and they're in the 6 o'clock news, and we haven't had anybody to be in the 6 o'clock news. So that was a big focus, especially down in San Diego, is, hey, we want to make sure that we're the go-to people whenever. Because what they'd do is they'd go to, some gun shop, and they'd find somebody who clearly wasn't well-spoken. Yeah. You know, and they're like, that guy. Let's get that guy to talk about guns.
Yeah.
And then they'd have a lobbyist from the anti-gun, yeah. you know, because that was their job. So now a big part of yeah, what yeah. we do is, you know, send out press releases. Year one, Prop 63 was happening. And it was getting a lot of pressure to do a rally or, you know, let's do a rally. I'm like, how many people can we get to show up at a rally? Well, probably like 100. That's not really a rally. That's just kind of
it's a gathering.
It's a party. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, imagine if we get let's do this. Let's do a press conference and we'll get 100 people. If 100 people show up at a press conference, that's a story.
Yeah.
You know? So we do a lot of press releases. We were doing a press conference a year. We did this one. I was really, really proud of this. Every year when the gun show came, they'd say, hey, you can, you know, any 12-year-old can go buy a machine gun without a background check. You know, all these. So I said, okay.
We were there at the last one.
The Del Mar one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so we did a $10,000 gun show challenge. And it was basically, look, here are all the things they say you can do at a gun show. Any anti-gun or anybody who comes and does those things and proves it, we'll give them $10,000.
That's so smart. That's such a good idea, dude.
We kept our 10 grand. Nobody, yeah. you know, and
did anyone like check any of the boxes off the list?
Nothing. No, there's nothing. But the cool thing was is so much when they say, hey, gun show's coming and it's dangerous and everybody's going to die and, oh, the sky's falling. You know, they get three quarters of the narrative and then we get a little response.
Yeah.
And then this way, I got three quarters of the narrative and they got like two or three little sentences as a response. Smart. We had every TV station in town came and, you know, it was, this is kind of funny too. It was a really hot day. And one of the stations started their feed before, you know, we said, all right, we're ready. So I'm standing up there, and it was really, really hot. And I said, okay, are we about ready? I said, all right, give me a minute. And I took a little towel and, like, you know, kind of, you know, because I was sweating. And this TV station was already feeding, right? And this dude in the comments section goes, he's sweating bullets. And I'm like, oh. Jesus. Like, thanks, guy.
Right?
So for Orange County, where should – are we – is it all donating to the same place, or should Orange County donate to Orange County gun owners?
Excellent question. So Orange County is a separate entity from Inland Empire, and that's a separate entity from San Diego. They're three complete separate entities. They have their own tax ID. They have their own bank account. The plan is that all the money in Orange County stays in Orange County. All the money in Inland Empire stays in Inland Empire. All the money in San Diego stays in San Diego. However, San Diego did supplement some of the growth of Inland Empire at Orange County, which is fine. They wanted to. You know, it worked out well. But that's an excellent question. So the big advantage of – I don't want to say advantage. Something that makes things a little different. Like people say, hey, why should I join, you know, four or five different groups or whatever? Well, the money, you know, is spent in different areas. So not that it's bad, you know, that if you send money to NRA – they might be using it in a different part of the country, and that's fine. You know, they're going to strategically use the money the way they need to. Send money to, you know, CRPA, they might spend it in a different part of the state, and that's fine. That's totally fine. But the money that you donate to Orange County gun owners will be spent in Orange County. You know, it's not going to San Diego. It's not going to anywhere else. It stays in the Orange County checking account until it's time to support these vetted candidates and try to get them elected or do something pro-Second Amendment. So, yeah, that's excellent question.
And then is their website OC Gun Owners?
Yeah, well, OrangeCountyGunOwners.com or OCGunOwners.com. Yeah, and go there. You can join a bunch of different ways to join. There's a couple of different memberships, but the basic one is $10 a month or $100 per year. And it's the most effective $10 you're going to spend.
It's affordable, too.
Yeah. We spend more than that on lunch, right, Chuck?
Not anymore.
We used to.
Well, with this diet pills, it makes it a lot more expensive.
I spend more than that on my diet pills.
Cool. Well, Chuck has a question for you.
Who do you like bigger? Bigger or Tupac?
Dude, I was like a Soundgarden Tool guy. Yeah, I was like, I think I was probably exposed more to Tupac, though.
Yep, West Coast.
That's fair. Yeah, well, thank you.
Move the podcast to the East Coast, he's going to do great.
One of these days, I'm going to win.
Yep.
Well, I was totally like an early. I graduated high school in '94, So I was, you know, Soundgarden and, you know, Nirvana.
Grunge.
Tool. Yeah. Primus.
Tool's still one of my favorite bands.
Yeah. Tool, so, I'm such a, I'm like a 13-year-old girl, you know. I have like Tool posters in my bedroom.
It's one of the bands I've never seen live. I've seen A Perfect Circle a few times, but I've never seen
Tool. You've never seen Tool?
Never seen Tool, yeah. I've seen A Perfect Circle, but yeah.
I'm such a Maynard fan.
He's a fucking weirdo, but I love it.
Well, thank you, Michael Schwartz, for especially coming down, driving down from San Diego to OC. We appreciate it. We definitely appreciate what you are doing.
Bing, a map.
And, yeah, thank you, man. Obviously, now hearing your fight and what you're doing and what, you know, that's looking like, we definitely appreciate you a lot more.
Well, thank you, man. That means a lot. It's an honor that you guys felt that I fit in. I know you guys have some heavy hitters on this podcast, so thank you.
No, yeah, just happy to help you spread the word. I think that was more of our thing.
Yep. Yeah, we're all the same team here. Help each other out.
Absolutely.
Yep. People helping people.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, and that's a wrap.
Awesome. All right. Thank you. That was cool, gentlemen.
Oh, I gotta pee, I'm sorry. Drinking all that water.
That was very cool. All that water?